Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share a conversation I recently recorded with my colleague, Whitney Kessner. Whitney and I caught up to talk a little bit more about some of the Executive MBA application process updates we've recently rolled out in response to the global coronavirus pandemic. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Whitney Kessner. Whitney, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Brett. So wonderful to speak with you today.
Pleasure, as always, to catch up with you. Let's before we really get into the nuts and bolts of the conversation about app process updates, let's talk about how are you doing? How are things in Charlottesville?
Things are going okay. I'm calling you from my home office, which is the spare bedroom. Home here with my husband and two children, and so trying to navigate space and internet connectivity as we all are continuing with school and work and everything in between. But we're doing all right. How are you doing, Brett?
All is well. My space may be a little bit less complex. It's just me in here, but trying to get used to working in my kitchen / living room / dining room / breakfast nook, and trying to come up with creative ways to sort of fill out some of the time on the weekends, recognizing that we're obviously more limited. I'm a big movie goer, not something you can do right now, but thankfully you can pretty much watch anything, anytime, anywhere. So that's been fun to catch up on some recent favorites, some old favorites. I spent the weekend watching movies, and I was curious, what are you watching? What are you reading right now?
Well, so I mentioned my children, and so the two of them and I started watching a Netflix series called Anne with an E, based on the Anne of Green Gables book. I think it's in season 3. So we typically are those folks to be slow adopters. So we've had a couple seasons now and enjoying that. And I can't say that I've been reading as much as I should. However, I've been doing a whole lot of home improvement projects. So we power washed our back porch and our fence this weekend and have been doing lots of cleaning inside. So I'm hopeful that I'll start reading soon, as some of these projects are wearing me out. So what are you reading and what are you listening to, Brett?
Oh gosh. Well, I'm always got a couple books going. I love reading it. I think it's well documented for people who've been listening to this podcast that I'm active library patron, which is put on hold during this time. Even the DC Public Library has shuttered through the end of April. So,
but I know you stocked up before.
That is absolutely true. So my dad and I are getting ready to joint read Lonesome Dove together, Larry McMurtry, Pulitzer Prize-winning novel.
So special one.
Yeah, so always a classic. And, I'm reading a book about Biltmore Estate that I'm slowly making my way through. I'm a North Carolinian, so my mom and dad and I make a pilgrimage there every December for the holiday season. And then in addition to that, I'm sort of working my way through some of the fiction reads on my bookshelf. I'm reading Grapes of Wrath. I think this is my way of reminding myself that there have been other hard times in America, and you know what? People made it through those too. So, not to equate what we're experiencing right now to necessarily the Great Depression, but I think it is helpful context. I was reading an article this weekend on ESPN that Wright Thompson wrote about sort of Italy and the situation going on there. And those kind of historical analogs reminding like this isn't the first time, unfortunately, that we've experienced disruption, but yet we persist. We find a way through.
No, I think you're exactly right. So sounds like we're adapting in our own ways and hopefully finding some balance.
Absolutely. Well, great to connect with you. It's been fun to be able to keep the podcast rolling during this time of social distancing. Big thank you to Gary Peters on the production end of things, and thought it would be good for us to catch up to talk about some of the application process updates that we've rolled out specifically for the Executive MBA application process. As you know, Whitney, test centers are currently closed in many locations around the globe, certainly here in the United States. We've been getting emails from prospective students who are looking to apply but unable to take a test right now. The test that most executive candidates applying to our program will take, the executive assessment, you are unable to take that right now. And people have been asking us, you know, what can they do? They're looking at our April 10, May 10 deadlines. What are their options? And so we shared that on the Discover Darden blog recently, but thought it would also be good to talk about here on the podcast.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think Darden is definitely looking at ways and rolling out some of these updates in order to be flexible, recognizing that this is an uncertain time and there are factors outside of our applicants' control. And so we want to help our applicants find ways to continue on with this process. We feel, the value of an MBA, the value of the Darden experience remains strong and vital and important. And so for those students that are looking to further grow in their career, looking to increase the impact within their organization and in their communities, we want to make sure that moving forward with the application is still a viable option.
You know, I'm so glad that you mentioned that. I do think it is about flexibility, and I think it's about, giving students options at this time. We know that we have, students who have been targeting our April 10 deadline. We didn't want the fact that test centers are currently closed to disrupt that timing for those students. So I think we came up with a pretty good way to sort of address that. So, before we get into some of the standardized test stuff, though, I'd like to start off maybe with an offer of sorts. So we've had, if you've been following our website, you've been following some of the notices from both Darden and the University of Virginia, you know that we've had to pause in-person events through at least May 15. And so that's included class visits. And Whitney, as you know, class visits are a hugely impactful thing for prospective students to come and sit in and meet students and see what the case method looks like. And of course, we offered an application fee waiver for anyone who came for a class visit. However, there's still an opportunity for executive MBA applicants to get an executive MBA application fee waiver. So if you do the following two things, I will say. So either schedule and participate in a phone conversation or a coffee chat. We'll be offering virtual coffee chats. If you're wondering what the difference between a phone conversation and a coffee chat is, phone conversation is a one-on-one phone conversation with an admissions committee member. A coffee chat, even a virtual coffee chat, is a small group conversation with an admissions committee member. So you have to either do a phone conversation or a coffee chat and then attend one of our upcoming webinars. And I was looking this morning, Whitney, I think we basically have at least one webinar a week for every week through our last deadline, June 25. We may be off by 1 week, but we wanted to make sure that if this was something that was interesting to people, that you didn't have to wait weeks and weeks and weeks to join us for an online event. So again, just to be clear, schedule a conversation to join us for a coffee chat and attend a webinar, and you'll get an application fee waiver. It's not such a bad deal.
No, I think that's wonderful. And to your point, class visits were a really wonderful way to engage. But I think these webinars and certainly these conversations are a fantastic way to learn more about the experience, learn more about our program, the student body, the academic experience, the career resources, but also, learn more about the application process and discuss your individual candidacy. So, kudos to you and the team for your fast response and also your creative alternatives and the wonderful lineup of webinars to come.
Yeah, we've got a lot on deck, and they kind of run the gamut. So we've got some student life oriented ones. We've got a student life webinar with Director of Student Affairs, Laura Bordoni, where she's going to talk about student organizations and some of the interesting extracurricular things that happen around our executive MBA program. We have a conversation with our women's organization, members of our women's organization, conversation with members of our Black Executive MBA student organization. We're also going to do some career-themed webinars. And, you know, these have been fun to do because honestly, they are probably a little bit, I mean, yes, you learn about DARN, you learn about how we support students in their career goals, but you also just get something that you can use in your everyday life. So for example, Jim Collins recently hosted a session about your personal brand. We're going to do one towards the end of this month on April 29 about world-class resumes. And then Sarita Soltz is going to join us in May and June to do sessions on tips for career switchers and tips for career climbers, people who want to change jobs, people who want to move up within their existing organization. And so even if you ultimately decide, hey, this is not the right time to move forward with an MBA, you have some career content that you can directly apply. And as Whitney noted, we do pretty regular admissions sessions, so our application focus sessions. So but right before every deadline, we'll do an application focused app tips session. And that's really, here's how our process works. Here's some frequent questions that people have. Bring any last minute questions that you also have, just making sure that you have the information you need as you finish things up. So we'll be doing one of those on April 8th. So next week, join me online. And, if you haven't scheduled a conversation, consider doing that. Well, our next coffee chat opportunity will actually be on April 10 with Catherine Alford. So we already did a bunch of online events. I will say in the current situation, we've looked to add a few more. So Whitney, that brings me to sort of the next thing. And you're someone who's how many interviews do you think you've done at this point at Darden? You've been at Darden for...
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I mean, thousands? Do you think you're in the thousands?
Oh, I don't know. That sounds high, but maybe. I will say they are the absolute highlight of the work that we do, the opportunity to interview candidates. I've been with Darden for coming on 13 years, so I'll have to do the math and see, but every interview is an opportunity to hear someone's story, learn more about their background, what they're excited about, and how Darden can help them reach their goals. So they are, yeah, like I said, definitely the highlight. So how are we going to do interviews in this current world?
I appreciate that question. Thank you so much for setting me up for it. So we're going to do Zoom interviews. Feels like we're all living in Zoom these days. I think that's
we are.
I talked to my mom yesterday, and her bridge club is meeting via Zoom, which was surprising to me.
Look at that creativity.
So, everybody's on Zoom all the time. And so we previously have done Skype interviews. We're going to shift to Zoom, see how it goes. But Whitney, I'm curious your thoughts on, so we may have people listen to this podcast and who are saying, gosh, I really would have preferred to interview in person. Obviously, for social distancing reasons, we're going to be doing virtual interviews, interviewing via Zoom going forward. And what would be your advice to prospective students? Obviously, we've done, Skype interviews for a very long time, always offered them for executive MBA candidates, just because of how busy everybody is, just to give people flexibility. What would be your advice for students as to how to really sort of shine in this kind of setting?
Great question. I think there's probably a little bit more on the tactical side to practice if you aren't living in a Zoom world, which I suspect, as you said, most of us are. You're probably pretty familiar with Zoom, but if not, definitely practice and make sure you're in a good place with good internet connectivity and good lighting. That's something that we've been getting some tips from our Darden instructional design team about how to have the most effective business meetings via Zoom. So you can check out some of those tips. I think those have been on the Darden Instagram feed. So make sure you feel comfortable with the technology and you're in a good place. Can certainly be ready for that. But whether it's in person or online, I think that the interview is your opportunity to share your story. I think we prefer these interactions over with a video because we can be face-to-face. And oftentimes I speak about when someone talks about what they're passionate about, I see it in their eyes. I see it in their, just the energy that they have, in their body language. And that's something that I find so compelling. If you're excited about it, I want to get excited about it. So, I think that the interview is that opportunity to bring your story to life. And connect that with why you want your MBA and why you're excited about Darden. I'd also say, you know, don't overlook this as a tremendous opportunity for you to continue to get to know us. We oftentimes save time at the end for candidates to ask us questions. So have a couple things in mind that you'd like to learn more about, dig a little deeper about. You know, certainly how Darden is adjusting to the current situation and how we're adapting to online learning exclusively. Things like that, you know, what's happening in the here and now. Asking, you know, deeper level conversations, maybe around the student experience or career services, the incredible alumni network that we have. So this is a two-way opportunity for us to learn more about you, but you for you to learn more about us. And so definitely make the most of that.
I'm glad that you brought up the current situation, because I think that a lot of prospective students have been asking about the way that things are going right now. You'd reference the fact that virtual classes, well, classes are online for the remainder of the semester, and folks have begun Darden at a distance. It started last week, very exciting, and seems to be going really well at this point. What are you hearing, Whitney?
Yeah, I'm hearing some really great positive feedback. I think that you and I and others at Darden were really able to see a bit more of the behind the scenes and how hard the faculty and the staff were working to make that transition. You know, the instructional design team that I mentioned, the IT, the media, all of these staff members who have great expertise partnering with the faculty to bring this learning virtual and to make it as I think a positive experience as can be. Certainly the executive format is in a unique position because of you know, some of the content is already delivered online, and I think we have incredible faculty who are masters at, you know, delivering that content, facilitating these conversations in person, and then they're also able to translate that to the online learning platform through Zoom. So I know a lot of our faculty who have long been teaching in the executive format were working with faculty who hadn't yet had that opportunity, and so that mentorship there, I think, was something special. So it was a feat, and it was something that we all were working hard to prepare and to try to make that as seamless as possible for the students. So that's been something really neat to see. And then I know, Brett, you've taken advantage of some of the town hall opportunities. I think Darden and the senior leadership team have really done a great job of keeping these open lines of communication with all of our students. So probably helpful to hear more about, you know, what you learned in those town halls, Brett.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned the town halls, because it has been great to be just online with the class of 2020 and 2021. I can't credit the program team enough. They've pretty much all been on the podcast at some point or another to talk about who they are and the work that they do and how they support students. And if you listen to a lot of the student interviews, you will hear people repeatedly talk about how great, you know, the program leadership and the team that supports students here are. And I can't underscore that enough. I think this experience, as you know, as difficult as it has been, has just been a further confirmation of the strength of that team and the empathy of that team. So the first town hall was with our class of 2020, and Jim Dieter, who is the program head, started off the town hall just with some remarks, just noting that, you know, there was some sadness around, you know, the conversation that they were having. you know, the students, you know, LR2, which is always a celebratory time for students. It's the class coming back together, the last academic activity before graduation. It does kind of have that sort of senior schools out kind of feel to it. And it's a fun week. It's so much fun. And the students weren't going to be able to have that in the same way this year. And then, of course, UVA, by the time we were having the town hall conversation, had made the decision that final exercises would not be held in person. And, you know, that's also sad for the students, because not necessarily for them and their accomplishments. I mean, certainly, you know, for them on some level, but the students are mostly sad for the people who have supported them through this experience, you know, their families and significant others and moms and dads and grandparents and children and all the people who have made it possible to be where they are now and to have completed the program. And I think if you talk to the people in this program, you know, who are in that position, you know, sort of on the verge of graduation, they will tell you that there's a whole team of people who made it possible for them to graduate. And that day is as much about that team as it is about them and their own personal accomplishment. And so, you know, I credit to both Jim and Dean Scott Beardsley for saying, look, okay, you're going to get your diploma on that day, but we're going to find a way to celebrate with you when we can do so. So I think there are already plans underway with the class of 2020, figuring out how to get them back to Charlottesville when appropriate to celebrate graduation in a Darden UVA kind of way in person. So, and then of course the class of 2021, sort of a different place in the program. They are quarter four, almost at the midpoint. So, you know, of course, they ended up not going to China on the global residency. We got some questions from students about, well, if they didn't go to China, you know, what happened to those folks? Were they able to take an additional global trip? And a credit again to the Center for Global Initiatives and Lottie Carr, who's been on the podcast a couple times, identifying other opportunities for students to travel, to have that additional global experience. And so there will be three global trips that are offered as a substitute for students who had previously scheduled that China global residency. That trip would have happened in March, April of this year. So you can sort of kind of remember back. Obviously, we're still in the midst of all of it, but I think about, you know, how complex it would have been to be in China at that time. And so the students will have the opportunity to choose between Japan, Finland, and a later trip to China. And so, you know, the Center for Global Initiative staff is incredible and sort of supporting so much global travel and so many different people going in so many different directions. And Lottie is such a pro, just kind of rolls with things. And, you know, we've gotten sort of questions about, you know, class of 2021, you know, when will classes be back, you know, back in person? And I think UVA and Darden by extension is taking a very sort of measured approach. Whitney, I know you've been in so many of these conversations, but taking a very measured approach, you know, as far as I'm aware, the most recent update is through May 15. And, you know, I imagine that leadership will come together, and credit Mark Johnson and Scott Beardsley and all the people working on COVID-19 response at Darden and obviously at UVA for doing a great job of keeping people informed. But that is also, that information is flowing to students. And as I've told every prospective student, as soon as we know something, you'll know something, because, you know, the people who are keeping us informed are doing a great job of it.
You know, I can't add much more to that, but, you know, everything that you've just shared just is an amazing display of the commitment of really the Darden community to finding ways to adapt and to continue to make this an incredible education experience. And yes, to the senior leadership team and how they are sharing information internally and sort of thinking through all the different scenarios. And then as we have updates, you know, our commitment to sharing those with our incoming students. So it's an uncertain time, to say the least, and certainly the situation very fluid. But I continue to be so inspired and remain so positive by the commitment of all the people here who are working to manage through this time and manage through this ambiguity.
That is very true. And, you know, I was looking at a calendar the other day. I got some questions talking with some of our students in our class of 2022 about start of school. And as I know, you've gotten those questions from full-time MBA students as well. And what, you know, we've been saying, and it's absolutely true, we're proceeding with planning for the start of school, you know, in August in Charlottesville with LR1. And, you know, that's the plan right now. And as we have additional information, we'll absolutely let you know. I was looking at a calendar, just kind of remind myself that, you know, that is almost 5 months from now, you know, mid-August. You know, none of us have a crystal ball, but, you know, that is quite a bit of time. And you know, it is a fluid situation, and obviously people are monitoring the situation closely. But we do have a little bit of time before anybody starts school at the Darden School, and certainly for our executive format students, orientation is and then LR1 is right in mid-August. So, you know, we've got a few more months to go.
I know one of the things that we've been strategizing on and talking a lot internally is around sort of the test option. And, you know, we started this podcast, you know, recognizing that test centers are closed at this time. I'm thinking that's probably very top of mind for our applicants. And so I thought you're probably most equipped to really walk through what, you know, the test process is, the test waiver process as we've now adapted it and share that with our audience.
No, I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit more about this, and it gets pretty detailed, but I think it's relatively easy to understand. So let's start with the category of people who've already taken a test. So if you've already taken a standardized test, and bear in mind that we will accept an older or expired test score on the executive MBA in the executive MBA application process. So that includes executive assessment, GMAT, GRE, MCAT, and LSAT. So if you already have one of those test scores, even if it's older or expired, and with the caveat that if you have an older or expired score, you do still need to have the score breakdown available to you. If you have a test score, go ahead and apply with your existing test score. If you have been previously granted a test waiver, there are people who had submitted a waiver request in the prior weeks or say a couple months ago and are just now deciding to apply. If you've already been granted a test waiver, just go ahead and apply. You do not need to do anything else. We will note your waiver in your application. You do not need to take any additional action in the test score section. If you have not had an opportunity to take a test, this is really the group of people that we're talking to. So if you have not taken a test yet, we have added a test waiver request as part of the test score section of our application. So haven't taken a test, no problem. Go ahead and submit the waiver as part of your application, and our admissions committee will evaluate your waiver request alongside the full application and make a recommendation at the time of decision as to whether a test or additional quantitative coursework may be required. So, Whitney, does that make sense? Are you tracking what I'm sharing?
I am. And for anyone who wants to see it in writing, our recent blog post, I think, does a really nice job of outlining these different scenarios. And again, all of that mind of wanting to be flexible and not wanting things outside of your control to stop you from moving forward. So I think you did a nice job of outlining that, Brett.
I appreciate that. I will say one of the things that I've been really excited about this sort of approach is it will allow us to think about the waiver request with a lot more information at our disposal. For people who may have known our prior process, we really only asked for a transcript and resume and a short statement. The new process will allow us both to consider a short statement. We do ask if you check the box, there's a question prompt in the test score section that says, would you like to be considered for a waiver request? If you would, you'd say yes. And of course, that produces a text box where you can share up to 500 words, highlighting your background. It might be coursework you've done, certifications you have, advanced degrees, nature of job responsibilities, these kinds of things, drawing the admissions committee's attention to particular aspects of your background that you think are relevant to that waiver request. But we will also have your recommendations and your resume and transcripts and the full application and your interview and our interactions with you at our disposal as well. And so it kind of makes the waiver request holistic, just as our admissions process is holistic too. That's one of the things I really like.
That's a good point.
I think the other thing that's kind of interesting is, you know, there will be a time likely when, you know, the executive assessment, which again is the most common test that people are taking, the EA comes back online, either in person or virtually. GMAC has provided some updates recently that, you know, the timeline could be, you know, something like late April for online testing. And, you know, even if that is the case, I want to be clear with applicants who are listening to this maybe a few weeks after we recorded, we're going to proceed with this process for the remainder of our cycle. You certainly, you know, if the test is available again, you can take it online or you can take it in person. You're certainly welcome to go ahead and take a test if you want our committee to have an additional factor to consider as we're evaluating you for admission. Then, of course, in the scholarship process, a test score can be additional factor for our scholarship committee to consider as we're looking at those indicators of academic merit in the scholarship process. But you also can just proceed with the test waiver and let our admissions committee make a recommendation at the time of decision. So I think it will create flexibility for candidates for the remainder of the cycle. Obviously, at the time of recording this in late March, we've got a few more deadlines. We've got April 10, May 10, June 10, and June 25 coming up. We have we have every expectation that we're going to be accepting applications through each of those deadlines. And, you know, Whitney, people always ask me, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, about applying late in the admission cycle, May 10, June 10, June 25. Is it still possible to be admitted? What would you say to those folks?
Sure. You know, we have these many deadlines to provide maximum flexibility for our applicants. And if this current situation has taught me anything, it's sort of you can plan for one thing and things can go a completely different direction. And so, you know, we oftentimes meet some tremendous candidates late in the year. And for whatever reason, whether it's work, whether it's life, whether it's, you know, new opportunities, the time to apply for business school has presented itself. And so these late rounds are here because every year we meet some pretty phenomenal candidates. And again, we want to provide maximum flexibility for our prospective students so that they can apply when they feel they're, you know, best positioned to do so. And, you know, the way the process is structured with a pretty quick turnaround, you know, in terms of getting to interview and getting a decision within the same month that you apply. So, I would say, you know, can't emphasize enough that we meet some pretty phenomenal people. And so if this is something you've been thinking about just need that little push to move forward, then I would say, you know, please do so and please explore this because this is just a tremendous opportunity.
I absolutely agree with those points. And, you know, as we have said many times on this podcast, on our sort of application themed episodes, the application process is still part of the evaluation process for prospective students. We know you're still gathering information. You know, we're trying to sort of move you through the process as quickly as we can while still, you know, sort of giving your application meaningful and thoughtful review so that you have the information you need to make the best decision you can. In those late rounds, as Whitney noted, things do move pretty quickly, but there are lots of great ways to continue to learn about our program right now. The webinars we mentioned, obviously you found your way to the podcast. We will have blog posts to share. So no shortage of ways to connect and to learn more. We mentioned that at the time of decision, we would be making recommendations as to whether tests or additional coursework would be required. Let's take a moment, sort of, I guess, a little bit of an admissions nerd moment to talk about potential decision outcomes in this world that we sort of described with the executive MBA application process updates. So there's really four decision outcomes now. Admit, so meaning no additional action required. Conditional offer, meaning that either a test or additional sort of quantitatively oriented coursework would be required. Waitlist, which is not a final decision per se. It means you're someone whose application we're obviously interested in, but not prepared to make an offer at this time. And then deny, which is obviously a final decision. Whitney, any sort of reaction to those decision outcomes, or anything you would share with candidates as they think about what a conditional offer might mean?
I think that speaks to where we are and that flexibility we're ultimately trying to provide. I generally, when I speak with candidates about the application process in general, it is a way for us to learn more about you and certainly about your potential as well. And, we're looking to set our students up to be successful and to really maximize this experience. And so that's why we ask for the different components of the application. It's for us to get a sense of where you've been and what your potential is. If you're extended a conditional offer, I'd say that's great news. There's so much that we like and are excited about. There might just be one more piece of information that we'd like for you to fulfill before, extending that full offer. So I think it's a great way to continue moving forward with this process.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you underscored the fact that, there in those situations, there is obviously so much that we like about a candidate. And typically, obviously, as we sort of think about next steps, we're having an opportunity to talk with the candidate about it. It's part of an ongoing sort of conversation after decision. And so any questions that you might have at that time, know that our admissions committee is here with you every step of the way. One of the great things about working with executive MBA candidates is all the personal interaction that we get to have. So you won't just sort of be wondering, for feedback or who you can talk to. Hopefully you'll have some people to talk to at that point. So, Whitney, any final tips, anything that you might share with candidates as they sort of think about these last few months of our admission cycle as we close out these final deadlines?
The importance of your mute button when you're on Zoom calls, as I just had our cute puppy bust in. And so was able to hopefully minimize that distraction. But all joking aside, we have some tremendous resources available to you through this podcast, through the blog, certainly with tons of upcoming webinars. We couldn't be more excited to get to know you through this process. Hopefully you're finding a lot of great information out there. And if there's something we're not covering, let us know, and happy to try to figure out ways to address it. And there's my puppy.
Well, I think puppy interruptions, kid interruptions happening to everybody these days. I've been contending with some construction outside my window pretty regularly here. So my piece of advice would be to really take advantage, somewhat similar to Whitney, but take some time to read the blog post that we referenced. We sort of talk through the application process, to take advantage of one of our application tips webinars. It's a really helpful, fairly detailed, but not too detailed, introduction to our app process and how we're going to review your file and think about both the application decision and, of course, if you're admitted, you'll be considered for all available scholarships and the way that the scholarship process works. For those of you who are wondering, what if I'm offered a conditional offer? You know, how will that sort of play out with the scholarship process? So you'll be asked, you know, ultimately, you know, to satisfy a particular condition. And then once you satisfactorily meet that condition, you would then be considered for a scholarship award. So if that's on your mind, obviously we're going to talk about that in these application tips webinars. And so a really helpful way to get a lot of information in a relatively short period of time, 35, 40 minutes. So again, you know, application fee is out there for anybody who schedules a phone conversation or coffee chat and then joins us for a webinar. So hope you would, if not that one, then join us for another webinar. We do try to be out there, available, transparent. And we want you to have the information that you need to really put together a strong application. So Whitney, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. I recognize how busy everybody is, moving in a million different directions, but always fun to talk with you, even virtually here. So thank you.
No, glad we could continue the conversation. So I think you've shared a lot of great information, and so look forward to meeting more folks as they consider their MBA at Darden.
And that was my conversation with my admissions colleague, Whitney Kessner. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.